is 6:30. I'm calling the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee to order. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted at the rear of the room. And with that, quorum call, please.
Tonight. Connolly, Fred.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Teaser.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And John.
Here. Item 4 is the adoption of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Leahy.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Connolly. Fred. And John.
Yes. I have here an affidavit of publication of the notice of tonight's meeting. That'll be part of the permanent records. Now moving to item 6, review and recommendation on the FY 2016 long-range implementation plan. Eric Williams.
Thank you. You have an updated version of the long-range implementation plan, which we put together every year. It highlights the projected expenditures for the current fiscal year and then the expenditures and revenues for the next 5 years, as well as the staff allocation for each of those programs and projects that are highlighted. The written descriptions were very similar because most of the programs and projects will remain basically the same as last year's. There are a couple new programs and projects that are listed in the narrative version and then also in the tables this year. But at the beginning, the only other substantial change would be in the staff listing. And I guess, I don't know, want to jump in front of if John has that as an announcement later, but there are some staff updates based on the staffing changes that have been made over the last couple months. And then the same on the figure 4, the org chart for the district. So the highlights of the changes in the programs and projects would be the major watershed projects that are happening over the next few years. Each have their own program project number and then appear in table 3 first, which is the expenditures in the fiscal 2016 broken down by the personnel, operating, professional, land rights, and construction costs. And that's on page 39. And so you can see that line item number 5, which is WP5 or Prairie Queen, that one remains in the program and project list this year, even though there are just a few minor expenses that will still be finalized for that project. Dam Site 15A remains in the program and project list, item number 6, as that's an ongoing project. The new projects are WP6, WP7, Zirinsky Basin 2, and the Missouri River Levy Certification now has funding allocation over the next few years specific to the expected expenses and revenue sources for that project. So Table 3 shows the projected or the budgeted expenses from this fiscal year, and the totals on the right side for each of the programs and projects would match to the budget expenses for those similar items. If we go to the next page, it's table 4 on page 41. That's the projection for the next 5 years. And again, fiscal 2016 matches to the budgeted expenses for each of the programs and projects there. And you can see that on items 7, 8, 9, and 10, you start to see the more specific numbers for the expenses on the very large projects, Dam Site 15A, WP 6, 7, Zirinsky Basin 2, and the levy certification. So the expenses which are currently budgeted for FY 2016 appear in the first column, and then the projected expenses for the remaining portions of each of those projects follow out in the next few years all the way out to 2020. Table 5, which is starts on page 44, shows the projected revenues for the next 5 years. And it starts at the top with the current cash on hand. There was a change from last year's description there that the bonds are listed down with WP 5 and 15A. That's written a little bit differently than it was last year for the cash on hand line. The property tax is listed for the current fiscal year and the projection with a 1.5% increase in valuation each of the next 5 years. And then the projected revenues for each of the 5 years fall under each of the projects or programs. You can see there's a breakdown of the Missouri River levy certification from numbers that Paul had provided, and the same for other projects as well. And as you look down to the bottom, the end of this table at the end of page 47, you can see that fiscal 2016 ends with the current expenses and revenues, and those again match to the current budget. And then the projection for the next 4 fiscal years shows the decrease in total expenses and revenues following with the completion of some of the big projects that we're currently working on. And the total budget number is expected to come down over the next few years as we wrap up 15A and then begin to complete other projects, 7 first, then 6, and then Zirinsky Basin 2, as well as the levy certification. So management recommends that the proposed fiscal year 2016 long-range implementation plan be approved.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Does anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Director Jack.
Page 41, line item 4. What are the Papio Creek contributory projects that you're budgeting $3 million a year for?
Do you want
to? Sure. Those are to go, that those funds go into the watershed fund for future projects as you may deem necessary. For the first 2 years, it's completing 6 and 7. I'm sorry, not completing 6 and 7. It's the additional structures beyond that that you approved a half cent increase in this last year, next year's budget. It's just continuing those. We've assigned the number to Zirinsky Basin 2, and you can see that that's $3 million in this first year. The next year's, that will zero out, and we're just putting it up there as a placeholder. We don't know what structures may decide in FY 17, future years to pursue.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Director Leahy.
I just have sort of a philosophical comment about these LRIPs. Maybe this is more for the Hush-Blackwell lobbying team here. There was a bill in the state legislature to move NRDs from going from an annual budget cycle to a biannual budget cycle. And I'm against that because I think there's benefit to doing an annual budget cycle, especially for us. But then I see we've got to do this LRIP thing every year. And to me, by definition, a long-range plan would seem to forecast out longer than a year at a time. And so I don't know if, you know, that's something that we may ask Hush-Blackwell to get state legislatures thinking about. Maybe this is an exercise we can do every 2 to 5 years. It's not something that needs to waste staff time and resources, not just for our NRD, but thinking about all the other NRDs, to be doing this kind of stuff each year when this is more broad than our budget, which we just did last month. So that's just a philosophical comment I'll throw out there and let staff chew it over if that's something worth pursuing.
It's more broad and less clear, but it's something that original, I think when the districts were formed, it was part of the original statute that this was a requirement. Now, my understanding from the DNR is these aren't typically scrutinized. They are accepted and filed. And I doubt they could even probably find them very rapidly if you request them, which we've had people request them, and they've had at least a few weeks to find them. So, yeah, you're right. That's something we should maybe run. And talk to DNR as well and see if make sure they're not a useful tool for them, which I don't believe they are. But you're right. It's something we could look at. So we'll talk to some. We're meeting with senators this fall. It might be something we'll bring up.
So I think we're required to submit it to a couple different offices. Page 4 in the introduction shows several different places where we do send copies of the report. When I submitted last year, there were four letters to different offices, and one of them, I'm not even sure the office still really exists. I did not receive any positive confirmation from any of the four offices that they had either received or approved or filed the plan. The Governor's Policy Research Office, I had a very difficult time tracking down that contact information, so there were a couple things that there were a couple different offices that kind of bounced around as to who was the contact person or what was the address. So
I assume they received regarding it. the latter years of this thing, 2019, 2020, when you're seeing a decrease in spending, don't you have projects on the long-range horizon that will be likely to start falling into place ahead of that so that the funding is not likely to decrease?
Yes, the increase in the bottom line budget number, let's say the bottom of table 4, the projected expenditures on page 43, it shows $71 million, and that does reflect some carryover in the bonded funding that for portions of the project which was not previously completed. And so if you look at the revenue table, that does show on page 44, it does show that on project 15A, we are showing a revenue of $16,511,000 on the GO bonds 2013B. We are not issuing more bonds. We are not bringing in more revenue for that project. But in order to maintain that money in the budget, it must be essentially carried forward as an expense and then appear as a revenue in the following year. So it reflects that we spent all of the money on the project in the 2015 budget and then reappears as a revenue source in 2016. That's not exactly what was happening, but that's how it's accounted. So that's artificially increasing the bottom line number on the total project dollar completion. So $71 million projected in or budgeted in 2016. Some portion of that will not actually be completed and will be reflected as an expenditure which reappears in 2017. After the bonding portion of the projects are completed, the number comes back down to more closely match the actual tax revenue and other revenue sources we have and the actual project expenditures, assuming that we were to complete all of the projects in that calendar or fiscal year. So the number comes from $71 million, $57,52, and back down to $36. That's a little closer to what is brought in actual revenues and actual projects completion. But that $71 million number is artificially high based on the bonded funding.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
So a follow-up to that is, if you did carry through with a bonding vote and bonding and did decide to bond money for Papio Reservoirs, those numbers would all jump up considerably in the last 3 years. We didn't incorporate that in here at this time.
You know, Marta, I thought I understood that until you just added that. So maybe when we get to that point, we'll go back over another explanation.
It would essentially be advancing projects that we would otherwise have had to wait to complete in years after 2020. And then the last line item on page 43 shows it shows at letter A, and it says bond payment under the expenditure, and that would just increase so that we would be paying off the bonds over a long period of time. We would show a large revenue up front, we would spend a bunch of money quickly, and then we would have a long expenditure of the bond payment moving forward for quite a few years. So it's kind of advancing the timeline, spending all the money now, and then paying it back later. There was one other item that did change this year from last year's projection, and that was actually the top item, page 41, the projected expenditure on project maintenance for channels and levees. Was increased in the next 4 years to an expected $3.5 million. And that reflects an expected increase in overall maintenance needs for Martin's projects in the future. This year, with the Big Papio Culvert Replacement Project, we have a higher number again at $4.5 million. But compared to what we were projecting in the past, the next 4 years, that number is increased because we do expect more projects like the culvert replacement to be happening. So that is higher compared to the roughly $2 million that was projected for the next 5 years last year. So we do expect there will be more large channel maintenance type projects coming up in the future that we'll have to just include in the future budgets.
Anything else anyone wishes to raise on the item? We have a motion on the floor. Roll call, please.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Leahy.
Yes.
And John Conley.
Yes. I believe that completes our agenda. Is that correct, Mr. Winkler? The other item is not?
The party cannot attend tonight's meeting due to scheduling conflict, so if they decide to provide other information, we'll schedule them some other time.
Thank you. Hearing that concludes the agenda, let's adjourn.